We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and today I have with me Austin, my co-host, our co-host, and we are here to wrap up this fun and fabulous month of compassion, where we have worked out those compassion skills with the compassion calisthenics. We're going to review the tool that we've had in flow and motion this month, just talking about some of it. And then Austin and I will share some of our experiences around compassion, because this month we've traveled a lot and we've had an opportunity to really work out our own compassion in that flow, because nothing gives you a chance to work out compassion like being among a bunch of individuals that you don't know in a very highly stressful situation like traveling. So, Austin?
Yes.
Should we start with the tool?
Yes.
All right. And that's part of why I have my laptop here, is just so we can kind of flow through. We pretty well know the tool, but we want to make sure if there's any little things in there that we want to highly cover that we don't miss it. So
absolutely. Nothing wrong with specificity.
Exactly. In the tool, we start with the definition of compassion. And we do this for a couple reasons. One, we have an amazing team member on the Suivera team who came forward and told us that, look, sometimes it's just really helpful to start at the beginning and give a common definition so we're all on the same page. Mm-hmm. So the lovely Linda really kind of made us go, oh, yeah, of course, having a common language is so important. So starting with that base definition. But with compassion, it's really important, because even in the field of psychology and counseling and coaching, compassion is defined differently among all of the different fields and even within each field. So having a standard starting point for what compassion means in language, so we know where we're starting from, I think it's really important, because what compassion means to me might not be what compassion means to you.
Yes.
And so the definition we utilized is like a four-part definition. Mm. And although we do have a step one in our compassion calisthenics for the actual workout, to me, what I found as I went through this month, and we were kind of practicing what we were telling other people that they could utilize to practice too, was that it actually started with understanding the definition. And we were talking about this a little bit, and I have it actually pulled up so that I don't misstate as we were saying. But the definition starts out, and the very first step in the definition is to have an awareness of your own suffering or the suffering of others. That's the first part of the definition. Mm-hmm. And the reason I found that was so valuable for me is it's about being in the present moment. You can't have awareness that somebody or something is suffering, even yourself, if you're not in the present moment, if you're thinking ahead or you're thinking back about how something just happened. And again, like traveling, so easy to get out of the present moment. So if we're constantly facing that I'm ahead or I'm looking back, or I'm ahead or I'm looking back, then it would be very hard for like me to know if you're in any way suffering, or for me to even realize like, man, my feet hurt. I'm suffering right now. I need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole compassion being an outcome of being present, but being present being an outcome of exercising compassion.
Absolutely. I think it's a great point. I'm going to take it a little step further too on this. I feel like this, the definition is suffering within yourself or another. And I honestly feel like it, instead of an or, it should be an and. Just like you've been kind of talking about throughout this podcast and multiple episodes. Because an or kind of creates an other.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that's set up. And so it's hard to focus on both or engage in both when the definition itself is focused on one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, compassion can really flow well with empathy, right? And that's gonna be another conversation that we'll talk about later. But part of compassion is inclusion. And so when we are recognizing that someone else has suffering, it can help us understand our own. And if we can understand our own suffering, that can help us understand another's. And so that creates a connection. It creates that oneness. It creates that unity. And as we talked about at the beginning of this month, you know, what is compassion? You know, our little definition was communicating passion. Another word for passion is love. So communicating love. And so when you can see yourself in someone else and see someone else in you, that is communicating love.
Yeah. Your suffering is my suffering.
Mm-hmm.
My suffering is your suffering.
Exactly.
And so even if I have the most amazing life, if you're suffering, that impacts me.
Exactly.
And so very well said. And I feel like that moves us to that second phase, which is that sympathy or concern for another person's or yourself and yourself.
And yourself. Nice.
For anything, any suffering that is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to have that connection, that sympathetic concern, you first have to start by being aware that it's there. So, you know, like I have this computer in front of me right now. If I am in the present moment because I'm typing on a computer and that's pulling my focus into the present moment, that doesn't mean that I'm aware of what's going on around me, right? And so, or even within me, actually half the time it does the exact opposite. It pulls all of my focus from everything else, all of my awareness. And suddenly I'm not aware of myself or you and anything other outside that is a living entity that may need my focus in the moment. And so to me, that was another real like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm diving into this definition. And as you had brought up on another podcast, if I'm sitting in the question, I'm really taking time. And in this case, it's not a question, it's a definition. I'm truly sitting in the definition and I'm asking myself, okay, I'm starting with an awareness of the suffering of myself and others. And then I have a sympathetic concern for that. Well, first, I have to be present enough, and then I have to have enough focus that isn't directed in the present moment to something that is not living and connected and conscious. Right? Hard to be sympathetic for a computer.
Right.
if it falls and shatters on the ground, you know, I might have a little bit of an emotional suffering because now I have to buy a new laptop, but the laptop doesn't care. At least not to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I think that I feel very much that that was an important part for me.
Right. Or when it's being slow, it doesn't care that you yeah, you want it to be fast. No.
And then a desire to ease that suffering.
Yeah.
So even if you do the first two steps, mm-hmm. you have an awareness and you have a sympathetic concern. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. I think that's another key. And many of us get frozen in that point. Like, okay, I am aware and I am concerned, but I can't do anything about it. And then we freeze. Mm-hmm. Can't do anything about it for myself. I can't do anything about it for you. So instead, I'm going to do nothing. You have what I call a super skill. And I tell you about it and I thank you for it all the time. What is your super skill?
Really crisp high fives.
You are really good at this. You listen to me. You don't attempt to solve everything for me.
What?
Huh? No, really, it's... When I'm navigating through something, mm-hmm. you gift me the space of actually sitting and listening and hearing me through without feeling a need to do something to fix it in that moment. Not always. He's like smiling because he's like, not every time.
Yeah, it took me a while to, that was it naturally. And I would say we've had this conversation about, I think just, you know, I don't mean to generalize, but in some ways men desire to fix things, and it's just a natural inclination to like want to solve want to be the solution, and I think that's pretty habitual. And so yeah, it took a little bit to get there, for sure. A lot of practice, a lot of ego balancing, you know, because what guy doesn't want to step in and be a solution for the one they love? I mean, that's like, you know, that's a romantic thought, mm-hmm. and feeling. And it's like, oh, I just want to swoop in and be there for my love, which is a beautiful thing in and of itself, right? But it's no longer beautiful if that's not what's being asked. Then it becomes ego-driven, and it doesn't actually, then we're actually creating a problem, not solving one. So it becomes the exact opposite of the desire behind it. So being able to pull back, be present, connect, and hear what's being said, in many ways it's actually offering an opportunity for you to solve your, to find your solution.
Yes.
Just to be a mirror, to hold space, to hear it out loud, because it oftentimes it is one thing in our head, but when we say it out loud, you know, that's when it can kind of become that, you know, they talk about brainstorm, but we always talk about heart storms. So it's like a natural heart storm to kind of hear yourself and flow through it. And also emotionally, allowing that space to not just get over it, but actually get through that and talking about it. And, you know, so many different ways to do that. But let's just say in this situation, just talking it through, that may be exactly what you need. And that is in and of itself a solution to the problem that you were seeking. And so instead of me placing what I feel like the solution could be, listening and understanding that you talking actually is the solution that you are seeking, you know, that is compassion in motion, right?
Exactly.
That's me recognizing the suffering in you and the suffering in me because you're suffering. And then me adding a solution is only going to create more suffering,
yes.
which then creates more suffering for me. So it becomes the opposite. So really pulling back, being present, holding space, and allowing the solution to unfold.
Yes. Which gets into the last mm-hmm. movement or responsiveness or an action to help remove that suffering.
Right.
And so instead of being frozen, it doesn't have to be that heroic act. Mm-hmm. The most heroic act you made was getting out of that ego space of my suffering being, even though it was your suffering because it shared, it wasn't about you. It was, how can I be there for you, for me, so that I can alleviate both of our suffering?
Right.
And so that required you to take a full step back, change behaviors, and then step back in and be like, okay, this is a small action, or it seems small compared to what you had been trained would be the more action to take, right? So it seems so small, but you took the time to observe what I really needed in the present moment. That was a huge action for me. Plus, it empowered me. And so when we feel helpless to alleviate someone else's suffering, maybe the step to take is that step back to observe, like you did and do on a regular basis, and say, okay, what I can do? What small step can I take? Because any step is going to be a step forward. And that small step may be the hugest step for that individual.
So well said. I feel like the big aha moment relative to that is that, whether it's compassion or the doing aspect of compassion, like finding a solution or wanting to ease, wanting to ease that pain, we have to stop viewing it as transactional. Compassion is not transactional. Compassion is a feeling. It's not the doing is a byproduct. So if we can pull back, compassion is first and foremost a feeling. And we don't do feelings, we experience feelings.
Best
way for us to experience feeling is in connection. And so when it becomes transactional, it takes away the magic. It takes away the purpose, the intention, and the learning centered from what you're supposed to get and gather from that. You know, suffering is happening because it's a learning opportunity. And so when we are so focused on the solution and the doing and the transaction of it, then all we're doing is boosting our ego and completely missing out on the entire point, which is the learning.
Or the connection.
Or the connection, right.
I mean, how many times has it brought us so much closer together?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it seems challenging in the moment, but the result of the moment, because we dove into it, we allowed it, and we gave each other all that we had throughout it, when you come out the other side of that, you're so integrated together and stronger as a result.
Right. I 100%. And just for clarity purposes for our listeners, connection in it doesn't mean falling into victimhood over this whatever's going on either.
Correct.
Because that in and of itself is a transaction. It is a result. And so we want to just clarify results in that sense, because that's victimhood is a destination of the suffering.
Yes.
And that's not what is going to help us learn or grow. That's a stagnant result. And so being able to, I don't want to take away your words of the result, but in reality, maybe reword it in the fact that it's not about the result. It's about the connections, about the unity of the experience.
Yeah.
And so whether you find a solution or whether you may remain in that suffering, not falling into the victimhood of it, but maybe experience the learning side of it. Because you may both be suffering for a time period. But the reality is that any feeling, regardless of what it is one that is not your identity, as we've talked about.
Right.
It's one that's fleeting. And so we, as a team, whether it's yourself or others, a couple or a family or a community, whatever it is, can band together in that collective connection point and experience that suffering together with the intention of overcoming it together. And it's from that process that we rise together, we build, we grow, we enhance ourselves through that. Then we're not falling to victimhood from that process, and it's not stagnant. It becomes expansive.
And I would offer, just from my own personal experience, it isn't about becoming the victim or the victor.
Right.
Right. Either one of those are putting yourself in a container.
Yes.
And limiting the potential of the experience that you had. And so if we allow ourselves to simply at the result or the outcome of it, it's just the next step to get us to the next evolution in whatever relationship, whether that's our personal relationship with ourselves, the relationship that you have with others, the relationship you have with the world, whatever it is. When you come out of anything that you're experiencing and that experience is concluding, there is an outcome to it. What is that outcome leading you to next? Because it's choice point to the next choice point to the next choice point. And so if we label each and every one versus using it as information and guideposts, okay, I came out of this one and now Austin and I feel more connected than ever. Guidepost. That means that now our relationship is stronger and more enhanced. So our next growth point, it will not take us as long likely to navigate through a similar experience, or it's informative and it guides us to the next. And so each one, when we hold compassion for each other, when we use it to connect, it gets us to next phases and in everything, internally, externally, and with others. So
it's so well said.
I think what you said is very, very important. And that's where, you know, what you had talked about in previous podcasts about just sitting in the information for a little while, asking yourself, what does this mean to me? Okay, great. This is a definition. All it is a definition. It's words on paper or electronics at this point. But regardless, all it is words. But what does it mean to me, and how does it apply to my life? And if you just take 15 minutes and sit with it, it can really cause you to start to go, And just like what we just said with guideposts and using it as informative means to navigate to the next phase, it can do that for you. Mm-hmm. And so it is important to start out just by having that level of understanding.
I love that. I really like your emotion is information. That to me is such a good, you know, what we talk about, what it means to be a heart leader is combining heart and compassion with intellect and logic to make an impact. Well, we can view that emotion is information that is combining heart and logic together to help us impact whatever it is that we're seeking. So I really appreciate it. That's just a really good little nugget.
Thank you. Yeah. For me personally, and again, anytime we say something, I'm not saying it is absolute truth.
Sure.
All I can ever do is speak from the experience that I have personally had.
Yeah.
But in my experience, my emotions, if it's like my thoughts, either way, if I give them permission to own me, they will.
Right.
If I instead utilize them as tools to guide me in the creation of my experience, then it's like having the paints, the paintbrush, the canvas, they're my tools. And just like if you're creating a painting and you're sparked with this creative insight, each brushstroke leads you to the next brushstroke. If you're an artist, I don't care what your art is. If you're not painting, there's just something in you when you're creating. You know you're not going to get to the next step of the creation until the step you're on leads you to it. And that's the same with your thoughts and your emotions. as you're experiencing them, they're like your brushes and paints and whatever medium you use to create. They're informing you of the next step. And so if you get ahead of yourself and you think, oh, I'm going to be in love with that person, well, you're already 10 steps ahead, and it's not going to get you where you truly believe you're going to go. You need to be in that moment, feeling the feeling that you're feeling in that moment.
Beautifully said.
Thanks. So, working out those compassion muscles that we have.
Yes.
Since we do know that we can at least practice compassion and grow stronger in it, you know, we've reflected through psychology and coaching that people can gain compassion through connection internally and externally. But we say, and we again reflect scientifically, that it truly has to start with self-compassion. And I know that we've experienced that ourselves, that awful negative brain bias that can take over, and we talk about a lot because it is so prevalent. And so if we're quick and easy to say bad things about ourselves, to be hard on ourselves, it is going to be so easy for us to do the same thing to others, to judge others, to put them in categories, to label them, because we've already done it to ourselves. We're in a box. Everyone else should be in a box, right? And so we start with that level of self-compassion, because chances are high we're not going to change anyone else either. So start here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the only thing we can direct is our own perspective and action. So, yeah, it is amazing when we start to choose to be more compassionate to ourselves, how that can open up the door for us to be that to and for others as well. It's like, you know, Steve talked about that in a podcast earlier this month, and how he's doing that in business, and how him individually, the more compassion he had for himself, the stronger he did for others, including his employees, which then helped his bottom line. And then, you know, it was a whole beautiful discussion about how compassion can benefit your business. You know, such a beautiful point, but it all had to start with him as the CEO, the founder. I mean, everyone's going to be looking at him to set the tone. And so we can do that, and it can change people, but not because it's forcing them. It's because it's inspiring them. And it's not because we're saying you have to do this or you need to change. It's sparking, as you always say, sparking that light within themselves to know what's possible. They just have to be able to see it first. And once you can see it, then you realize it's possible. And then it's like, oh, and that's what you did for me. When I saw the compassion you had for yourself, and the compassion you had for others, and how that fueled you. It's like, I want that. I want to experience that. And you're right, it did started with myself, and had to dive in. And crazy enough, that was the hardest thing. It was easy to be compassionate to a level that I understood at the time. It's easier to be compassionate to others than it was to myself. And even some degree, even today, even these days, you know, it's, even though I've done a lot of practice and continue, it's just the times of my life that I wasn't compassionate to myself far outweigh the times I was.
Yes.
Now every single day I'm seeking to create more balance in that, and growing that side, so they do even out and hopefully get to a point, you know, throughout my life that it becomes greater on the compassionate side than the non-compassionate side. But just like anything, it takes time, it takes practice, it takes dedication. But what greater calling is there to be dedicated to love?
I agree. And when you see an entire organization like Stephen Douglas, or like James and Lance, who, yes, were talking about the entire ropes and reserve communities that are built around staff having compassion for self and compassion for each other, that then inspires the members of the community to have compassion for the staff and have compassion for each other. You see that it can actually be contagious, but it actually starts with each individual within themselves. And then like that light just kind of, it keeps going and it keeps going. And it was palpable being in that community. You could actually feel the joy. And it wasn't like we walked on and we were like, oh, we were anticipating this. No, it was, we walked on anticipating we were going to see a standard community that had some really good practices and principles. And you pulled in there and it was just, everyone was happy. People were singing. It was joy in motion. And it really does start from that place of knowing we're not going to be perfect all the time. And we're going to make mistakes. And we're going to be okay with that. And we're going to lift each other up when we do make mistakes. And we're going to just address it. And we're not going to make each other feel bad. And that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. We're going to lift each other up because I choose to lift myself up.
Yes. I know how to do it because I've worked this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's amazing. We see this in business as James and Lance were talking. You know, it attracts the top talent, which then builds the business. It helps grow. Then everyone's happy. I mean, we walked in, the place is spotless. It looks like, you know, it'd been open for 3 years, but it looks like it'd been open for 3 weeks. Yeah. It was just mind blowing. And so, you know, it's that love and compassion is permeating into everything from culture to purpose to attention, all the way down to the cleanliness of the space. That just, you just want to be, everything you look at, everyone you look at, there's just this happiness and this love and this feeling of united connection that is just infused into the space, because that's what everyone is choosing to be, and therefore their actions reflect it.
One of the things they said in our discussion was, you know, as staff, we get to go home. But what we have to keep in mind is this is where people live.
Yeah.
They don't get to just clock out and leave. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have the foresight, the compassion and the care to leave their home the way we would keep our home. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that before. And, you know, I have been to thousands of senior or assisted living communities, but I've been to a fair number. And I had never heard that come out of anybody's mouth before. Mm-hmm. So that is a level of compassion and connection that to me begins with that awareness, that self-awareness, and then that awareness of what's outside of self, so that then you can connect and know. And James even talked about that with the ping pong table, right? He had noticed that people had pushed two tables together and put a net on. Mm-hmm. Because he walked the property, he could notice that, okay, I can fix that for them. I can just get a ping pong table for here.
Yeah.
He couldn't just let that go. Mm-hmm. He could have just let them spend their time playing ping pong on two tables with a net. Mm-hmm. But he had compassion for the people who lived there and took the effort to just bring in a ping pong table.
Right. Yeah. And when that kind of compassion is presented, the people living there are going to want to present that type of compassion back to those who work with James and James himself.
Yes.
And so it becomes this beautiful circle. And that's why I was kind of going down that road, because it doesn't only just work in business, and we tend to forget that, but it not only works in business, it works individually. When we start being compassionate for ourselves, towards ourselves, we start to attract, you know, in business, it would be greater talent, but we would say maybe stronger friendships, connected relationships. You know, those who you start to attract that same type of connection point. So when you're at home or in your social settings or when you're at work, you're creating this beautiful vibration of love, connection, and unity that is flowing into and infused in all aspects of your life. Therefore, you're not putting it in a box or putting aspects in a box. You're creating continuity of compassion throughout all levels of self and all experiences of self.
Yeah.
And that's why self-compassion is so impactful.
So let's talk about the tools that we provided and any others that we can think of. We're not limited to the tools that are in the Compassion Calisthenics. So if you think of any others, but what is in there? Mm-hmm. So I did the silly thing when I first started my whole self-love journey. I worked on multiple different levels so that I could truly and deeply connect within. And one of the things I did was write myself love letters. And it was quirky and it was silly and it was fun. And it caused me to not be so serious about it. But it also allowed me to truly recognize where I had things that were going on in my life, but the strength that I had to make it through, and the compassion and the care that I had for where it originated and how I could move through it. As we always say, not get over it, but actually move through it and move through it with love for myself. And so it was really nice to write these letters because I could get it down on paper and I could see it reflected back to me. Plus, I could track my progress. I could literally see as I wrote myself these letters, how when I first started out, it was like, this is silly, but oh, I love myself. And even though I am navigating through this challenging time that wasn't created by me, because of course, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do this. Of course I didn't. I can still find the strength within. I will champion on. And then slowly, as I wrote myself those amazing love letters, it was like, I see how I co-created this experience and the role I played. And where I have the opportunity to grow. And here is my commitment to myself to grow in these ways. I am strong. I can navigate this. I will do this. And so the letters just kept growing and growing. So as I grew, they grew and I could see my journey. And so it was a wonderful path that way. So that's why that one was included.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And for some people, that's just not, you know, it's not their thing. And I totally get it. And so the other thing you can do is just keep a compassion journal, right? Journaling can often be more in alignment. So you can track how you've shown yourself compassion throughout the day, how you've maybe reduced the negative self-talk or done something kind for yourself to show yourself that you're worthy of kindness too. All of those things, because it is easy to start getting really down on yourself, to start thinking, well, everyone else is worth it. And we talked to Emma and Kara about that a little bit. When you're out on social media a lot and you see everybody having this amazing life, I loved how Emma put it, you know, like you don't think you're worth anything, right? You're just a big bag of whatever it was that she said, but it's like, it's easy to get in that space and really be hard on yourself. But it isn't about what you buy. You can gift yourself little things like an hour off of social media to just be with you and maybe take a walk in nature to reconnect with yourself.
And to your point that you were showing as you matured in your ability to write to yourself, you started to also take responsibility. And part of compassion, in my experience, is taking responsibility. And so although we might go on to social media and see those things and feel those things, well, we are because we chose to do it. And so until we can make another choice, you know, we can't be a victim of what we're experiencing on social media in terms of like feeling like I'm not enough when we're the ones who are making that choice to do that. So that's what I love, what you're beautifully saying and positioning is like the reason why it's compassion is because we're choosing to say, okay, well, if I am the common denominator in everything that I do, why don't I choose something that's actually going to benefit me? That is an incredible form of self-compassion. Is choosing another thing to lift myself up instead of put myself down.
Yes.
So I am in turn easing my own suffering by choosing something that enhances my way of life.
Yes, 100%. And one of those things that we can do so easily is reduce that negative self-talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we have a tool that you so beautifully aligned a partnership with these amazing individuals. You want to kind of share a little bit about that again for anyone who may not have heard about it yet?
Yeah, any new listeners or self-pause, Jaden and Jill are just spectacular. They are such kind-hearted individuals, and they started this app, Self-Pause, for their own purposes. Which I actually love, not from a selfish standpoint, but from a standpoint of, hey, I'm not finding what I need out there. So we're going to create it for ourselves. And then in return, this can actually be helpful to others. I loved that. And so they're creating this, it's affirmations. I still get one every day. It happens at 12 o'clock every day. I get a little notification just saying some I am statement in some way, shape, or form that is positive. And it brightens my day every single day. I love it. So just something like that, it's a great tool. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's amazing that they gift so much because it's free. But the premium side, you can just do so much more. And we do have, they've been fortunate to gift everyone in our community 2 free months. So, you know, our description below can share all that, those details. I'm not going to dive into that, but just something free like that. And honestly, that can help you train yourself to have positive self-talk because in the essence, that is free too. It is forever free, your own positive self-talk. It's incredible what it can do. I mean, we see the difference in sports. We see the difference in business. And it's like we know it, but we're not willing to dedicate ourselves to actually do it. I know I've struggled with that for a long time as being a competitive athlete. And even though I knew it, I still would fall back into my old patterns until I really recognized that it was the same effort either way. Just one was beneficial and one wasn't.
Yeah.
So why not choose the one that's beneficial and stay on that route? Literally the same amount of effort.
And especially when you have tools that can make it even easier.
Yeah.
I mean, with self-pause, there are pre-recorded ones,
mm-hmm.
or you can record your own and listen to them.
Yeah.
So it does make it easier, and it does that interruption of the thought pattern. So going back to what I was saying about, you know, I could either let my thoughts and emotions drive me, or I could use them as tools. This is empowering us to choose the tool. Instead of it being like, here's what's being thrown at you. So then we're just choosing what we desire to use to create our life. And if somehow a bunch of tools that we didn't ask for, a bunch of thoughts that just came flooding in that we're not even sure where they came from, come flooding into our brain, you use something like self-pause to interrupt that, to not let it just start cycling and feel like you're helpless. We're not helpless. We can do something to stop it. If not change it, at least stop the pattern long enough to make a different choice.
So well said. And, you know, honestly, if you like social media, then change your behavior on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the algorithm is set to have you look at what you're clicking.
Mm-hmm. Might only be once you clicked it and they'll give you a bunch of it, but you've at least.
But over time, yeah, I mean,
you're going to train it.
There's so, I've seen it. There's a ton on social media about positive affirmations.
Yes.
And positive self-talk, personal growth. There are so many self-help channels, videos, audio. I mean, you name it, it's a plethora. It is not hiding with some locked key that you have to figure out. No, it is freely available right there. And so if you do like the medium of something like social media, change the way you interact with it and create a benefit instead of pulling yourself down. Spend that hour consuming something that's going to lift you up.
Yes, I love that. So once we get to the point where we feel like we have at least gotten accustomed to having self-compassion, the next thing we recommend in the tool isn't to just go out and start practicing giving compassion to others. We put another step in there, and that's receiving compassion first. And that's because at least in my view, it's really challenging to receive without giving something, and it's really challenging to give without receiving something. There's a balance that starts. But when we practice receiving first, often that's the more challenging thing sometimes. Individuals, it's a little easier to give something, but it's a little more challenging to allow it to come inward. So when we can focus and practice receiving by being present and sharing in a compassionate exchange, and then allowing someone to show us compassion and help us and not turning it away, which I know, again, I often accepting help was a challenge for me because I was raised, and I thank my parents for this often because it has helped contribute to who I am, but I was very much raised in a very independent, take care of yourself. You don't need to be reliant on anyone else. You can do this kind of approach. But the counterbalance to that was then I didn't learn how to accept help very well, not even when I needed it. And so as I learned compassion for myself, I also had to learn how to receive help and compassion from others. And so noticing when somebody is being compassionate and not turning that away, not saying, no, thank you, I've got this. But being willing to take it and then give gratitude for it. Because then we learn how to give it. We can't give what we've never received. And so there's that whole exchange too.
Yeah. It's well said. That's such a great point about we can't give it unless we've received it. And that's why the more love we give to ourselves, then the more love we can the more love we receive from ourselves, the more love we can give to others. So it's like we're fueling, we are becoming, as you say, independently dependent.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about even just when we look at it from a kind of a bigger view in terms of like, okay, well, how does that work practically? Well, our relationship, we talk about this all the time. And one of the last ones, transparency, we talked about, I don't need you. But when we're together, we enhance each other.
Yes.
So that's the very essence of what I feel like you're talking about. Is like that's it in action in terms of a relationship. But what about the relationship with yourself?
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like you're diving into beautifully here.
It's like that snowball effect, right? I start self-love and self-focus is like that small little snowball that keeps rolling and rolling. And then it compounds on itself because the more you learn about yourself and the more you grow, the more you expand, the more you become aware of this mountain of snow that's all around you. And it just keeps going and building upon itself and building upon itself. And suddenly, before you know it, you're like this huge, huge ball that just cannot be stopped, and you are on your way. And so it's amazing, but it's got to start with that little bit of momentum within yourself that just keeps going. And we all, if you need tools, then visit the site and find the tools that fit for you. But find tools that will keep you in motion and keep you gathering so that you can reach that space.
Right. Again, YouTube, Facebook, all, I mean, you name it, all these social medias, if you were to type something in like that, it would have it. But yeah, I mean, we've definitely compiled all of our tools in the Heart Leader Toolbox, and that's completely free with podcasts and worksheets and all those high level discussions from different walks of life, all talking about it. So, it's out there. We just need to know A, what we're searching for, and it'll be there.
Yeah. And ultimately, once we've come to understand self-compassion and then we're able to receive compassion, it's almost like we set ourselves on fire with compassion, and it just goes, and it becomes so innate and ingrained in who we are that holding compassion for others becomes almost second nature. And so there isn't a lot that we need to practice at that level, because as you so brilliantly pointed out at the beginning, then I recognize that your suffering is my suffering. And I allow that my suffering is your suffering. So when you desire to help me, I'm not going to block you out. And so there is that connection that starts to form. And we do just start to lift each other up. And the connections that we form become stronger in the process, which is why this is a big Heart Leader tool. And it comes later in the flow. You know, here we are, we're several months into our podcasts and talking about Heart Leaders. But once it's there, it is building a building block for us individually, each, and then in our relationships, in our communities, in our businesses. It snowballs.
Right. Absolutely. And honestly, even more so, I don't think it's just second nature. Compassion to me, compassion is first nature for humans, because it is love, and we are love. And that's why we have Heart Leader. Heart is before leadership, because the leadership side, those are the skills that we gain. That is what becomes second nature. But when what we're leading with first is our heart, it is compassion. And so we are, whether it's spiritually, we're accessing the divine, God, whatever you want to call it. To me, that's what that is. Emotionally, it's compassionate, compassion. Maybe mentally, it's recognizing connection, seeing that in someone else. And then physically, we experience that in the doing and in the actions that we take. Whether that's consoling someone, whether that is creating a group where people can talk, or hey, a podcast like this, where we can talk together, or even just as you're saying, writing these tools for yourself and writing a compassion journal, so it flows all the way through every level of ourselves. And so that way, to me, compassion, and I said in the beginning of this month, that there is something a little extra. All these tools every month are important and a huge aspect and an attribute of being a heart leader, but compassion to me is just that little bit of extra because it really is the first nature of who we are.
I love that. Thank you. I believe that wraps up compassion. Any final words that you have that you would share on compassion? First nature is pretty awesome. It would be a good place, but...
No, I just, I feel like that's a great place to finish up. And then just to say thank you to all of our incredible, guests this month who shared different levels of compassion through generations, through business, and through actual action.
Yeah.
They really, everyone was embodying compassion at different levels, at different stages in life too. And so it shows that we aren't limited. Compassion and love aren't limited. We are the ones who put limits on love.
Yeah.
And so, and that's something I know you say, and that completely changed my perspective. So if you're willing to expand your limitations and drop them completely and fulfill and embody love, compassion does become that first nature, and you'll see your life change exponentially.
And to thank them, because there was travel involved in all of it
right. This
month too. Kara and Emma traveled to us mm-hmm. from a completely different state.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Sadica so kindly invited us to his space in Florida. And then we were invited to Robeson Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And so each and every individual this month allowed us to travel to them, or they traveled here,
mm-hmm.
which is a great honor. So very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yay. And we appreciate you traveling through the great interwebs to see us here on the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. If you know someone that is a heart leader, and you feel that they would be a great guest on the show, just go on over to suivera.org and let us know about them. We would love to have them as a guest. And don't forget, you can join the Heart Leader Toolbox completely free. And there you can find the compassion calisthenics that we reviewed today, along with a lot of other amazing free resources. Next month, we're going to dive into creativity and how creativity can spark the heart and do so much to just really get us moving forward as heart leaders. Until next time, I am your host, Amber, and this is co-host Austin, and we look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.